بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه. وبعد، welcome everyone to I think our ninth session on the Maraqi والسعادات of Imam Abu الحسن الشرنبلالي رحمه الله. We covered the فرائض of wudu last lesson. And we are now looking at the sunnah of wudu. We will read the text and then we will give a brief explanation of the sunnah aspects of wudu. So the Shaykh rahimahullah last week that we read said, نَفَعَنَا اللَّهُ بِهِ فُرُوضُ الْوُضُوء أَرْبَعَةٌ غسل الوجه وحده طولا من مبدأ الناصية إلى أسفل الذقن لمن ليس له اللحية لحية كثيفة وإلى ظاهر الكثيفة وحده عرضا من شحمة الأذن إلى شحمة الأخرى ولو ملتحيا. والفرض الثاني غسل اليدين مع المرفقين، والثالث مسح ربع رأسه، والرابع غسل الرجلين مع الكعبين. So those are the four aspects of the four components, obligatory components, to wash the two hands up to and including the elbows, to wipe a quarter or part of the head, and to wash both feet up to and including the ankles. Now he, rahimahullah, will mention some of these sunnah aspects of the wudu. So he says, وَمِن سُنَّتِهِ, and these are the emphasized sunnah, the mu'akkada sunnah, he says, rahimahullah, an-niyyatu was-siwaku wa-tasmiyatu wa-ghasru al-yadayhi ila rusghayhi fi ibtidaihi wa-tartibu kama nassa Allah ta'ala fi kitabi wal-mawalat wa-tathlithu al-ghasl wal-madmada wal-istinshaq wa-takhlilu al-lahya wal-asabi' wa-isti'abu al-ra's bil-mas' wa-dalk wa-bada'atu bil-yaman bil-miyamin ورؤوس الأصابع مقدم الرأس ومسح الرقبة دون الحلقوم. ومن آدابه, and from the etiquettes of the wudu, استقبال القبلة وتحرز عن الغسالة ودعاء بالمأثور وتسمية عند غسل كل عضو ومباشرته بنفسه قبل دخول الوقت ولا عذر به وشهادتان وشرب منه بعدهم. So we will begin with the sunnah aspect first. We'll translate it. So it says, the first one says, an-niyya, the intention, was-siwak, using the toothstick, wa-tasmiya, saying the name of Allah Azza wa Jal, wa-ghaslu al-yadayhi ila rusghayhi fi ibtidaihi, washing the hands up to and including the wrists in the beginning part of wudu. So when we wash the hands, we wash up to the wrists as well, up to and including the wrists. وَتَدْتِيبُ كَمَا نَصَّ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى فِي كِتَابِهِ, following the sequence of the wudu, maintaining the correct order of washing the limbs, as Allah mentioned in or stipulated it in his book. وَالْمُوَالَاتُ, to continuously do the wudu without breaking it. وَتَثْلِيثُ الْغَسَلُ, washing thrice, so every limb that needs to be washed is completely washed three times. والمضمضة, to rinse the entire mouth. والاستنشاق, to wet the fingers in the soft part of the nose to make sure the nose is flushed, wetted and flushed. وتخليل اللحية والأصابع, to run one's wet fingers through the beards and through the fingers and toes. وَإِسْتِيعَابُ الرَّأْسِ بِالْمَسْحِ, making sure wiping the entire head once and rubbing. وَالْدَلْكُ, rubbing. وَالْبَدَاءَةُ بِالْمَيَامِنِ, make sure we beginning from or starting the washing of the limbs from the right. Then وَالرُّؤُوسِ الْأَصَابِعِ وَمُقَدِّمُ الرَّأْسِ, making sure that the tips of the finger, starting with the right limb and the tips of the fingers and toes, and starting from the front of the head, وَمَسَحُ الرَّقَبَ دُونِ الْحُلْقُومِ, wiping the neck, the bottom of the neck, wiping the back of the neck, but not the throat. From the adab, from the etiquette of the wudu, are the following: turning, making sure we are facing the qibla, the direction of the Kaaba Musharrafa in Mecca. Then it says at-taharruz an al-ghusala, making sure that avoiding any used water from getting on the body or the clothes. وَالدُّعَاءُ بِالْمَأْثُورِ, using supplications that the words that have been transmitted from the Messenger of Allah. وَالتَّسْمِيَةُ عِنْدَ غَسْلِ كُلِّ عُدْوٍ, making the mention of the name of Allah while washing every limb. مُبَاشَرَةُ بِنَفْسِهِ قَبَلَ دُخُولِ الْوَقْتِ وَلَا عُذْرَ بِهِ, performing the wudu, مُبَاشَرَةُ بِنَفْسِهِ, performing the wudu by oneself. And then hastening to do the wudu for oneself, مُبَاشَرَتُهُ بِنَفْسِهِ قَبَلْ دُخُولِ الْوَقْتِ, before the time comes in. وَلَا عُذْرَ بِهِ, and there is no excuse for delaying. So we're rushing to perform the wudu. Wudu has to be done by oneself, and rushing towards doing the wudu and hastening to do it before the prayer time comes in, unless one has a really, you know, a proper excuse. وَشَهَادَتَانِ وَشُرْبُ مِنْهُ بَعْدَهُ, reciting the two testifications of the faith and drinking from the leftover water after the wudu has been done. So those are the sunnah and the adab aspects of wudu. Those we'll go through a bit of it now. The niyyah, the intention to perform the wudu, is a sunnah. It's not obligatory according to the Hanafis, Imam Ash-Shurun Bulali rahimahullah. So the sunnah, the ruling is taken to be sunnah and emphasized sunnah. And so it falls under the sunnah aspect of wudu. And this is based on many, many evidences like innama al-a'malu binniyat and things like that. Actions are based on intentions. So intentions have to be, it's part of wudu, it's part of sunnah. And sunnah here, sunnah mu'akkada, the emphasized sunnah. And this type of sunnah cannot be omitted or left out unless there is a really valid reason for why this part of the sunnah cannot be done. Wasiwak, using the two stick. This is an emphasized sunnah, and that's based on many, many narrations where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said, you know, if I were to burden my ummah with something, then I would burden it with using the miswak in every salah. لَوْلَا أَنْ أَشَقَّ عَلَىٰ أُمَّتِي لَأَمَرْتُهُمْ بِالسِّوَاكِ مَعَ كُلِّ وُضُوءٍ. So the Messenger of Allah said, لَوْلَا أَشُقَّ عَلَىٰ أُمَّتِي عِنْدَ كُلِّ وُضُوءٍ. If I were to burden my ummah with something, I would order them to use the miswak before every wudu, or for every wudu, for every ablution. So siwak is an emphasized sunnah. To recite the bismillah, reciting the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is where the Messenger of Allah said to, for example, Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala an, Ya Abu Huraira, إِذَا تَوَضَّأْتْ فَقُلْ بِسْمِ اللَّهِ وَالْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ. O Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala an, before you perform wudu, or إِذَا تَوَضَّأْتْ, when you perform wudu, قُلْ بِسْمِ اللَّهِ وَالْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ, say in the name of Allah, and all praise belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this hadith can be found in the Musnad, the Majma' al-Zawaid of Imam al-Haythami rahimahullah. So saying the bismillah before reciting the Bismillah before one performs the wudu. And then it says washing the hands ila rusghayhi fi ibtida'ihi. So washing the hands up until and including the wrists at the beginning of the wudu. And this was based on the hadith that of Sayyidina Uthman that I recited last week in our session, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam washed the hands up until the wrists and including the wrists three times. And so that is based on that narration and many, many other narrations. There is a narration from Sayyidina Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhuma, where he says that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam said, man tawadda'a wahidatan fatilka wadifa, wadifatul wudu alati la budda minha. That whoever washes the required parts of their body for wudu, whoever washes that once, then that they have done the required part of wudu, the requirement has been completed. وَمَنْ تَوَضَّعَ إِثْنَتَيْنِ فَلَهُ كِفْلَانِ. Whoever washes twice, then he will receive the reward for doing that. Yeah. وَمَنْ تَوَضَّعَ ثَلَاثًا فَذَلِكَ وُضُوءِ وَوُضُوءُ الْأَنْبِيَاءِ قَبْلِي عَلَيْهِمُ السَّلَامِ. So whoever washes the limbs three times, وَمَنْ تَوَضَّعَ ثَلَاثًا, whoever washes the required parts of wudu three times, فَذَلِكَ وُضُوءِ, that is my ablution, that is my wudu, وَوُضُوءُ الْأَنْبِيَاءِ قَبْلِي. And this is the wudu of the Anbiya, alayhim as-salam, the noble prophets that have come before me. The next bit then is the tertib kama nassa Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, following the sequence. This is the sunnah of the Messenger of Allah, because this is the way the Messenger of Allah adhered to it. But you know, for the Hanafis, it's not mandatory that it be the tertib be followed. It's an emphasized sunnah, which means it still means that you cannot go over. It means you cannot. You still have to follow the sequence. Otherwise, you're contravening a emphasized sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu. You are contravening an emphasized sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wa sahbihi wasallam. So we should not discard this proper tartib, this sequence of wudu. We shouldn't discard it. There must be mu'alat. There must be washing of the body parts continuously. There shouldn't be any gaps. So there shouldn't be anything that distracts us from the performance of our wudu. We shouldn't be distracted by anything. And we shouldn't allow the limbs to become dry in between the washing of the limbs. We shouldn't do that. So there must be a continuous washing, unless there's some reason why we're taking a gap in between. وَتَثْلِيثُ الْغَسَلِ, washing thrice. We mentioned this already from the hadith of Sayyidina Uthman and Ibn Umar, and many, many other narrations. The mouth must, and this includes madmada, rinsing the mouth, the full mouth entirely, inside of the mouth. The water has to swirl around the mouth. Wal istinshaq, sniffing water up and then flushing it out. So sniffing water with the right hand and then flushing it out with the left hand. This has to be done three times. And this is this is where the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam said to a sahabi, I can't remember the name now, it's escaping my mind, إِذَا تَوَضَّعْتْ فَمَضْمِدْ, when you do wudu, then rinse your mouth as well. And the sunnah is to rinse it three times and to flush the nose three times. We get this in the hadith to wash, to do it thrice. We have a hadith as well from Abu Hurairah radiallahu ta'ala an, where the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam says, "Idha istaykhadha ahadukum," when one of you wakes up from sleep, "Idha istaykhadha ahadukum min manamihi, falyatawadda," then let him perform wudu, "falyastanshir thalathan," then let him rinse. Let him clean his nose three times. فليستنثر. And then the other part of the hadith is, فإن الشيطان يبيت على خيشومه. Shaitan, goes in and out his nose, spends the time through his nose. So sunnah to rinse the mouth three times, to take water up into the wets of the nostril, to the nostrils, and to make sure it gets wet, and to flush it out. Or takhlilu lahya, and then to run to make sure that the beard, one runs the fingers through the beard. This is a sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallama. And this is known as khilal, running through fingers through the beard and the fingers. And we get this from the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam in many, many hadith. Sayyidina Uthman ibn Affan, for example, said, "Kana yukhallil lahyatahu sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam," that the Prophet used to make khilal of his beard, make sure that the wet fingers were run through his beard. So إذا كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إذا توضأ خلل لحيته بالماء. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم used to run wet fingers through his beard whenever he performed wudu. Sometimes he used to put water underneath his blessed chin, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, splash water at the blessed chin, and then run his blessed fingers through it. So this is what the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam, used to do. And he used to do it, wal asabi'. So it says here in the text, wa takhlilul lahya wal asabi'. He used to run his fingers through his beard, his blessed beard. But the Prophet also used to do it over his fingers of his hands and his toes. The way to do it on the hands is to get one hand run through the other like that. And for the toes is to take the pinky, the little finger on the left hand, and go through each toe of the foot from one end to the other. So then he mentioned, rahimahullah, wa isti'abu ar-ra's bil masah, to wipe over the forehead once. And it's a sunnah, emphasized sunnah, to wipe over the head once, the forehead once. And the proper way is to wet both hands and then go over and place the palms and the three fingers over of each hand on the forehead and the hairline, wipe the entire head to the back of the neckline. And then forward, back to the forehead. So back like that, and then go coming backwards. Making sure when we're washing that we are rubbing, making sure water is rubbed on to the body. Beginning from the right, but from the fingertips as well. So when we're washing, We begin from the fingertips. So if we're washing the arm from the fingertips all the way and including the elbow. And then for the Hanafis, we do wipe the back of the neck, but we don't wipe the throat. We don't go like that and then go like this. Wiping the hulqum is a bid'ah. It's not warranted. What else is mentioned in there? That's fine. Of course, when we're wiping the head, and we're wiping the head all the way back, we have to include the ears as well, and thumb going around the back of the ears, to the ear lobes there. And then we wipe at the back of the neck. And the head must be wiped once, and the ears must be wiped once. Because Sayyidina Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, he said that wudu Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam fi wasfihi sallallahu alayhi wasallam عن ابن عباس رضي الله تعالى عنهما قال في وصف النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم مسح برأسه وأذنيه مسحة واحدة. So مسحة واحدة, سيدنا ابن عباس رضي الله عنهما said that the characteristic of the Prophet's wudu, sifa of the Prophet's wudu, was that he wiped his head and ears once. Inside and the outside of his ears. This is from Sayyidina Ibn Abbas. ظاهرهما وباطنهما. That's what he mentions, رضي الله عنهما. مسح برأسه. The Messenger of Allah washed, wiped his blessed head all the way. وأذنيه ظاهرهما وباطنهما. Both inside and the outside. And what did he use? He used his index finger to that he used the inside of the ears, and his thumb with the outside of the ears. So bi ibhamihi, he used the thumb to wipe the outside of the ear, and he used his index finger to wipe the inside of the ears. Sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallama. And how, why did he do them both together? Because Abdullah bin Zayd said that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam said, Al-udhunan min al-ra's. The ears are part of the head. Al-udhunan min al-ra's. So whatever the hukum of the ra's is, the hukum of the udhun is. Whatever takes the ruling of the head will take the ruling of the ear. This is why when we wipe the head, we don't need to get fresh water to wipe the ears. We do it with the same wet hand as we wiped our head. And beginning from the right hand side, وَالْبَدَاءَةُ بِالْمَيَامِينَ. This is obviously a clear sunnah. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam كَانَ النَّبِي عَلَيْهِ أَفْضَلُ الصَّلَاةِ وَأَتَمُّ التَّسْلِيمِ يحب التيمم ما استطاع في شأنه كله في ظهوره في طهوره وترجله وتنعله. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam loved tayammuna. He loved doing things from the right. He loved everything from the right whenever it was possible. ما استطاع في شأنه كله. The Prophet used to love that. في طهوره وترجله وتنعله. Whether it was washing, tarajjulihi, doing his blessed hair, or wearing his shoes, alayhi salatu wasalam. And then from Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala an, that he said, إِذَا لَبِسْتُمْ The Prophet said, when you wear your clothes, وَإِذَا تَوَضَّعْتُمْ فَابْدَأُوا بِأَيْمَانِكُمْ. Begin from your right. Whenever you wear clothes or you perform wudu, begin it from your right. إِذَا لَبِسْتُمْ وَإِذَا تَوَضَّعْتُمْ فَابْدَأُوا بِأَيْمَانِكُمْ. And from the adab of the wudu, istiqbalul qibla. Istiqbalul qibla. We must face the qibla. Making sure that no water is taharruz anil ghusala. Not to use to avoid using water that's already been used. That we have to avoid that getting onto the body. التحرز عن الغسالة, making sure that the water used for wudu doesn't splash onto the body anywhere. والدعاء بالمأثور, to begin to make the dua, the recommended du'as for the wudu, so those du'as must be prescribed du'as. For example, ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa anna muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluhu, things like that, whatever's been transmitted from the, whatever has been reported, those kind of du'as should be recited. وَتَسْمِيَةُ عِنْدَ غَسْلِ كُلِّ عُدْوٍ, making sure that we say the basmala while, or saying, you know, praising Allah, saying the name of Allah while we're washing every limb, every single limb, not just at the beginning, hastening to do, rushing to perform wudu before the prayer. Unless, of course, one has a reason why they can't do it, a valid reason. And then saying the two shahadas before, during the wudu, and then drinking from the leftover water from wudu. And this is from the drinking from the remainder water, ashurb minhu ba'dahu, drinking from the leftover water from performing wudu after one completes wudu. We have narrations like from Imam Hussein bin Ali bin Abi Talib radiyallahu an, karramallahu wajhu, that he was saying to Sayyidina Hussein radiyallahu an, that your grandfather, what would he do? He used to pick up the remainder of the ablution water, وَيَشْرَبُ فَضْلَ وَضُوئِهِ قَائِمًا. He, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, would drink the remaining or excess water while he was standing up. You would. Say the two shahadas as well. We've covered that. So those are the adab. And adab is sort of something that the Messenger of Allah performed once or twice, but not regularly enough for it to be considered an emphasized sunnah. Or to like nafal or mustahab. So here, according to Imam Abu Imam Ashurun Bulali, these are the adab of the wudu. So there are eight adab of wudu according to him, and then according to him, rahimahullah, there was 17 emphasized sunnahs. So 17 emphasized sunnahs, and then there were eight occasional sunnahs or adab, those actions that the Prophet didn't perform regularly. Whereas the sunnah mu'akkada are those actions which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam perform regularly and consistently without omitting them, unless in some exceptional case, once or twice or something like that. Right, so that covers our basic aspects of the sunnah of wudu and the adab of wudu. What we will look at next week are the remaining sections of the bab of wudu. So we're going to look at the makruhat of wudu. What are the dislike aspects of wudu? We'll be looking at that. Then we're going to be looking at the conditions that one is required in order to perform wudu. The conditions of performance and validity. Then we'll be looking at some legal judgments about wudu. And then we'll be looking at what else we'll do. And then we'll get that. That should take. We should finish off wudu bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, and then we'll be up to ghusl. So next week we want to finish what invalidates wudu. We want to look at what are the types of wudu. We also want the conditions for the validity of wudu, conditions that obligate wudu. And then we want to look at some of the disliked aspects of wudu. So basically, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, next week we want to wrap up the final rulings regarding wudu. And then we're going to, that will take us up to Bab al-Ghusl. I'll stop here. Wa sallallahu ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. And if there's any questions, feel free to ask. Okay, if there are no questions, we will leave it there and we will pick up the remaining aspects of wudu bi-idhnillahi ta'ala in our Dars al-Qadim. Until then, narakum ala khair and jazakumullahu khairan for joining us. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.